Incredible. Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer, is, as we speak, testifying before the House Oversight Committee. This comes after the Department of Justice, the Justice Department, submitted a request that he start serving his jail time a year and a day. Very interesting timing, with Republicans now making allegations that it's all tied to the testimony today. Is this an intimidation tactic? Gosh, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, as they say. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. I am Trish Regan. So good to have you here. We are live today with all of these major developments as they unfold. Again, Hunter Biden's former business associate there at Rosemont Seneca, Devin Archer, going in and testifying before the House Oversight Committee as we speak. This is a very, very big deal because, of course, Republicans are trying to figure out whether this lobbying operation, which is what it seems to have been, a foreign influence lobbying, possibly peddling, possibly illegal operation. I mean, certainly as we look at so much of this, and he had not made the proper classifications and filings with the IRS, with the Treasury Department, et cetera, for operating his businesses, that's what it appears to be. Could the president be the big guy that is referred to in some of the texts and correspondence? We have learned additional information that will likely be reported there to the House Oversight Committee from Devin Archer that may implicate the president, which gets us one step closer to the possibility of impeachment of the president of the United States, Joe Biden. Welcome to the program. If you have not subscribed, make sure you do that. We are brought to you in part today by Legacy Precious Metals. If you're interested in investing in gold or silver, go to legacypminvestments.com. Call them at 1-866-589-0560. The number right there on your screen. We'll talk a little bit more about gold coming up. In the meantime, wow. Okay, so the big news here is that as Devin Archer prepared to go behind closed doors, where he is as we speak, well, it seems that there were some people, perhaps, maybe, dare I suggest, in the White House, it was the DOJ, that they kind of wanted to send a message. Here is Devin Archer looking pretty darn miserable. Congrats to the congressional reporter over at Washington Examiner for getting that picture. This is a picture of him in the elevator as he went up there to testify, because this is a big deal. You see, if they're actually able to prove that the big guy was involved, as it has been alleged, in all of these deals, for example, on conference calls. That's what came out over the weekend, that Joe Biden was actually on the conference calls, including allegedly some gambling business that was happening in Mexico. For goodness sakes, if he was on these as Vice President of the United States of America, then how is that not anything other than a kind of influence peddling? In other words, you're paid to be vice president. You're not paid to be trying to do some deal with Ukraine or with China or with Mexico or Romania or anywhere else. And so if they can actually establish those links, then I don't see how this president is going to avoid an impeachment trial, which increasingly is looking likely. So perhaps in response to that, we saw over the weekend that the Justice Department, which, by the way, can't get out of its own way, it just keeps fumbling and fumbling and fumbling because it thinks it's better than everyone else, and it so is not. It is so absolutely stupid and over its skis because it thinks, the Justice Department, that it can do whatever it wants to try and suppress the truth. And you know what's amazing about this country? We get a few heroes out there, like that judge who said, I can't sign off on this plea agreement, this memorandum here that you guys have put forward, in part because what the heck is this? Is it even constitutional? I can't promise that we can't go after Hunter Biden for illegal foreign lobbying, as you tried to get me to do, buried deep within that so-called plea agreement. Thank goodness we have people like that judge, Mary Ellen Noriega, who said, not happening. Thank goodness we have whistleblowers that are willing to come forward and say, you know, something's not right here, because this case came to us years ago. By the way, it landed in their lap. It landed in their lap, not because anybody was doing any opposition research on Joe Biden, but because there were some international amateur porn ring going on, and they somehow the IRS and the FBI wound up getting led back to none other than Hunter Biden. Lovely, lovely, right? So that's how this whole thing came about. So Gary Shapley and the other IRS whistleblower, they're out there investigating this. And guess what? They get turned down once Joe Biden is president, sort of at every corner. They can't actually follow through with their case. They can't bring charges in Delaware. They can't bring charges in California. And they're like, what the heck? So they fortunately have come forward. And you know what? They risk a lot in doing so. They risk a ton. They risk their careers. They risk their anonymity. They risk their families' lives coming forward. Marilyn Noriega, the U.S. District Court judge as well, who's not willing to rubber stamp this plea agreement and said, guys, give me 30 days. You come back in 30 days with something that actually might be real that I can actually sign off on. I mean, the fact that people in government think that they can, you know, pull a fast one is pretty shocking. And that's what's coming up right now. The question is, with the Justice Department submitting a new request, asking a judge to schedule a date for Archer to surrender to prison and begin serving his 1 year sentence, 1 year and a day, does that have anything to do, one might ask, with the fact that he was testifying today, right? Like it comes just hours ahead of time. Now, in a statement, Devin Archer's attorney says, Devin Archer doesn't believe that the DOJ is actually trying to threaten him or influence him. I mean, what the heck is the guy going to say, right? Like, what are you going to say? I mean, do you have a choice? I mean, you're facing some serious stuff here. We just hope that Devin Archer is absolutely, positively true. The expectation is that he will say that Joe Biden was involved in these businesses, almost like a chairman of the board. That's what's been reported out there, that Biden was sort of like, you know, on the board of directors, not chairman of the board, I shouldn't say that, but board of directors, effectively in that kind of consulting role. He shouldn't have been in any role. And by the way, how many times did he tell us he had nothing to do with his son's business? Absolutely nothing at all. How many times do we have to hear it was a personal matter only? We're going to get back to that in a second, because the White House is starting to change its tune upon the realization that, you know what, they may be incriminating themselves on that one. Anyway, in a statement, Archer's attorney said his client does not believe the DOJ request is connected in any way to the upcoming closed door interview, which is happening as we speak, despite continuing to fight demands related to scheduling a surrender date. Quote, we are aware of speculation that the Department of Justice's weekend request, I mean, imagine that, just, you know, 48 hours, 24 hours before the whole thing's going down, to have Mr. Archer report to prison is an attempt by the Biden administration to intimidate him in advance of his meeting with the House Oversight Committee on Monday. To be clear, Mr. Archer, his lawyer writes, does not agree with that speculation. In any case, Mr. Archer will do what he has planned to do all along, which is to show up Monday and to honestly answer questions that are put to him by the congressional investigators. Look, we get a lot of questions right now. And you know what? Again, I say credit to American citizens that are standing up in the face of what really feels like a rigged system, whether it's the U.S. District Court judge that they thought they could pull a fast one on. I mean, for goodness sakes, the tax stuff alone, you'd get a year and a day for everybody else does. Why does Joe Biden's son get off? Not to mention the gun charge, for goodness sakes. I mean, he's addicted to drugs and he never discloses that. So he effectively had an illegal firearm. So there's that one. And then the whopper that they're trying to just embed within that plea agreement. Just shocking that they would try and pull something like this, pull a fast one, and try and have within the diversion agreement this whole thing saying that, you know what, he's absolved from anything. They can't go after him for any other stuff, including possible illegal foreign lobbying, which is exactly what they're trying to figure out right now. I mean, I've told you guys, I've done a lot of reporting in my career. Won a lot of actually awards for some of my documentary and other reporting on financing as it relates to terror activities. This is pretty remarkable. I haven't seen the actual physical bank records. I've only seen what was given by the Treasury Department to the House Oversight Committee. And it's good that they gave them, you know, because that was going to be a standoff too. You know, the Treasury didn't want to give them. But of course, Congress has oversight. And it turns out there's 170 suspicious activity reports. 170. Like, who has 170 suspicious activity reports? You know, it's remarkable. Banks have this whole thing, you know your customer. They have to know where all the money's coming from. It's it's pretty serious. Like they'll go and do a whole lot of due diligence on any individual, and they have to do that. But for it to get to the point where it's a suspicious activity report and referred to Treasury, that's a pretty big deal. And then on top of that, for there to have 170 of them, I mean, I've never heard of such a thing, nor has James Comer, the representative who's leading this investigation from the House Oversight Committee. He was on Ted Cruz's podcast the other day, and here's what he was saying about this. I mean, it is really quite remarkable. Banks don't even like to have to file these things, right? Because then that means Treasury is suddenly in your business at the bank scrutinizing thing. But yet 170 were filed in relation to the Bidens. Here we go.
Two over the course of 10 years.
And how many were issued concerning Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the Biden family?
Over 170. They were direct.
Wait, you were at a bank and they issued two in 10
how many years?
If you had two SARs, they're called SARs in the banking industry. If you had two SARs against you, it would be hard for you to open an account somewhere. There wouldn't be any bank that would want to have you as a customer because it's not worth the paperwork. Remember, when the bank files one of these, you could understand this, appreciate this, Senator. That's inviting the regulators to come in and regulate. Okay, that's the last thing the banks
want. So 170 get filed. That means that somebody's getting a deposit in their account. It's a big amount. It's from somewhere suspicious. I mean, what triggers it? Why? You're a banker. What is it that makes you say we got to file a SAR?
A large transaction that comes out of the blue.
So and what's large? So, what is there a threshold?
You had a million. I'll use the Robinson Walker account because we subpoenaed. That was the first bank account we subpoenaed.
Now, who's Robinson Walker?
Rob Walker was one of the associates that they used to funnel money from China and then in Romania and then down and launder it down to the Bidens.
So he's a.
Okay, so he's talking about Rob Walker Associates, LLC. Lots of LLCs. Amazingly, do you know that there were 20, at least 20 LLCs created for the Bidens right after Joe Biden won the vice presidency? What the heck? Right, like, and just to back up, and I've told you this before, like, it's not unusual to have LLCs for different business lines. Like, you might have an LLC for one particular business and another LLC for this particular business. I've seen it, for example, in construction. You know, a contractor might have a business for the architecture side and another LLC for, say, the lumber side. But to actually have 20 different LLCs in this case, where money's going from one to the other, to the other, to the other, that's really weird. It's not as though the money was going straight from the LLC then into Hunter Biden's bank account. No, the money was going from one LLC into another, and then was being disseminated into multiple Biden family members' bank accounts in which they received over $1.3 million from Rob Walker-related accounts, Robinson Walker. And that was between the years 2015 and 2017. This was a limited liability company, just to back up. It was established in Delaware back in 2008. Delaware is basically where everybody establishes their companies because Delaware has some of the best business or securities law, if you would. So a lot of LLCs, they're established there, but this wasn't the only one. There were a whole bunch of them. But in particular with Robinson Walker, you had three family members, at least three family members, according to the House Oversight Committee, Hallie Biden, James Biden, Hunter Biden, and various companies that were receiving all of these payments. And we're talking about a lot of money. You saw me holding up this paper, which you probably can't see that. Well, maybe a little bit. Anyway, we're talking $5,000, $25,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000. These are large amounts. In one case, $1.65 million, $1,065,000, I should say, to European Energy and Infrastructure Group. This is Robinson Walker wiring that to another LLC in Abu Dhabi. This is a company associated with another business partner of Hunter Biden involved in some foreign transactions with the Biden family. My gosh, I mean, what were these people doing? In all seriousness, what the heck was going on? You know, you think about the Trump family and the scrutiny that they have been under, of course, right? Because they had a large business operation long before Donald Trump was ever running for office, long before he ever became president, in which they had hotels all over the world. And everybody was in there saying, oh my gosh, is this influence peddling? I want to point out, you know what? Like, his kids actually were in that business. They were in that business long before politics ever came into the fray. Joe Biden, on the other hand, has been in politics for 50 years, and his son, who's a drug addict, unfortunately, by the way, very unfortunate. And I feel very bad for the family about that. We'll talk about that in a minute, but don't be distracted by it because they want you to be. Unfortunately, this drug addict winds up with all kinds of plum positions, including 80 grand a month. I've been saying 60 and you guys have corrected me. You're right. It was 80 grand a month from Burisma, the board job that he got in Ukraine. On the board of a natural gas company. You know, I have more qualifications to be on the board of a natural gas company in Ukraine than Hunter Biden. Well, I have more qualifications to do anything than Hunter Biden. We all do, right? I mean, this is what is so insane about it all. So just exactly how did he get these jobs? Why did he get these jobs? Not to mention the stuff coming in from China, coming in from Romania. Amazing. You go and have your dad give a speech on anti-corruption in Romania, and then somehow, what, $1 million winds up in one of the Biden's LLC bank accounts. It is on us as Americans to get to the bottom of this. All politics aside, and I realize it's political, okay? Like, that is just the world in which we live, and everybody hates each other, and every side is out, like, trying. But here's the deal. Like, we can't be like this. We can't actually have our politicians for sale, certainly not on an international level, certainly not with everything that is at stake right now. There's a story in the Daily Mail today talking about how China is actually giving millions and millions of dollars to public school systems, K through 12 in the United States. And they are all public schools that are near bases, near military bases, because they're trying to have some kind of influence over the kids whose parents are working at these military bases. I mean, this is real stuff. So this influence peddling, the use of money, the ability to buy people off is very, very serious. We're seeing it over and over again. And clearly, well, I can't say clearly because this is all alleged right now, but I'm going to give you my personal opinion. This doesn't look good. This doesn't look good because in many cases we're seeing now China was involved. I mean, I'll just say this. What about the Chinese CEO of the energy company, by the way, who has like somehow just disappeared into thin air? Anyway, this guy's a billionaire and establishes some kind of friendship with Hunter Biden. Don't forget, Hunter got to go tour China with his dad, remember, on a government plane? So this guy knows that Hunter's going through the divorce, etc., somehow shows up in Florida, has dinner with him, and gives him a diamond, like an $80,000 diamond. Like, who's carrying around diamonds in their pockets to give to Hunter Biden? For goodness sakes. All of this is under serious, serious speculation. And for the White House to sit there and say, no, no, you know, he had nothing to do with it. It's just a personal matter. I think we got to dig deeper. Here's Karine Jean-Pierre with her party line.
I wanted to ask about the president's reaction to the legal developments yesterday and with the initial plea deal for his son appearing to fall apart.
So, look, I'm really not going to say anything more than what I shared yesterday. This is a personal matter for Hunter Biden. This is, you know, a personal issue. And as you know, this has been done in an independent way by the Department of Justice. It has.
Oh, yeah, right. Independent. My, you know what? How is it independent when you're trying to pull a fast one on the judge by trying to make sure Hunter Biden's never going to be gone after for illegal foreign lobbying? How is it independent when two whistleblowers have come forward and said they couldn't move forward on charges? They were suddenly blocked. And David Weiss, the attorney who had been investigating it for some number of years, was like, I don't know. Like, nobody understands, like, why you can't move forward. Well, here's the deal. You can't move forward because the guy's father is the president of the United States of America. And what's really scary here is the danger and the threat that somehow the father is involved in this too. Now, that is what conservatives are trying to prove. I hate that it's just conservatives, by the way. Liberals should be there too, because you know what? It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable regardless of politics. We need to have politicians that are above board. I'm sorry. Okay, guess what? You don't make a lot of money in politics. You know what? Maybe you should have gone into banking or gone to Wall Street or, I don't know, theater, acting, anything. But policy, you're not going to make a lot of money in politics, maybe a book along the way. But if this is how you think you're going to support your family, if this is the idea, then I'm sorry, we got a serious problem here in the United States of America, and we need a total redo, because this is what our founding fathers were trying to guard against. We can't have this kind of influence peddling. We can't have politicians that are for sale. Interesting. Remember how he got the plum gig at the think tank at UPenn? when his name went up on the wall there and it was suddenly the Biden Institute, all of a sudden the Chinese money came pouring in. I mean, look, maybe he was learning from the Clintons. Remember the Clintons and all that they did? CGI, Clinton Global Initiative. It was amazing because I actually interviewed Bill Clinton at one of these CGI Americas events. It was pretty remarkable. I've been to the international one as well. It was held in New York. And I'm like, wow, it's really interesting. Like all these like billionaires from around the world. Like, what is this really about? It's about getting your picture taken with Bill Clinton and getting sort of the stamp of approval so that you can say, okay, this guy's my friend. And then therefore you're somehow sanctioned and you get more business dealings. It is what you would call pay to play. I mean, at least he did it when he was out of office, for goodness sakes. It's what came back to haunt Hillary, of course, among other things. But at least he waited until he was out of office. The frightening thing here, is that this may have been going on while Joe Biden was vice president of the United States. And the more scary thing is it still going on? I mean, all that art that is for sale, going for plenty of money. I mean, look, I actually do have a background in art. I actually used to paint a lot. I should get back to it one of these days. That said, I'm just going to tell you, like, I thought my art was pretty good. I don't know about Hunter's. I mean, it's quite a subjective thing, right? What one sees as art, what one sees as value in art. And apparently, one woman saw a lot of value in it. She was in and out of the White House. Reporters are even asking about it now. This was Elizabeth Naftali, who apparently bought some of Hunter's artwork. She was a big Democrat donor, was in and out of the White House some 12 times and landed up with a Plum Commission helping to protect America's image overseas. Okay, fine. But one still must ask, especially given the history of what we've seen here from the House oversight and accountability members and all the money going back, one has to ask, what was that about? In other words, is the White House still somehow in some way, shape or form for sale? Is influence for sale there? This is the question that Devin Archer, you see him right there, kind of, he's got a little bit of a smile on his face. This can't be a fun day for him. He's got to be truthful here. His lawyer has promised he would be truthful, but yet he's up against it because he's got the DOJ contacting him over the weekend saying, hey, buddy, we want to make sure we get your jail sentence happening. When is that starting? Very interesting choice of timing. And that's why I say this DOJ is absolutely stupid, because they're making sort of rookie mistakes and they're making it so obvious. When you start going after people in the way that they've been going after people, and you're doing so sort of at the 11th hour and you're trying to shove things into documents as they did with that plea agreement, well, you know what? It's not going to fly. It's just not going to fly. And you can sit there and tell us all you want that, you know what? This is just a poor kid, older than me, poor kid who had a drug addiction. And, you know, his father's just loves his son. That's all this is about. Nothing more. It's a personal matter. And it's so sad. This is the spin that you're going to hear over and over and over again on MSNBC and CNN and all in the legacy media companies. Claire McCaskill already spinning that narrative. I showed you this the other day, but it's worth watching again. Here she is with Jen Psaki, who, by the way, like, just I'm pointing this out, is the former press person for Joe Biden and is clearly in his camp. I mean, how this woman is at all presented as an impartial journalist on MSNBC. I'm sorry, Peppermint Patty, it is time to exit stage left and stop interviewing McCaskill.
They are going to try to indict a father for loving his son who has been addicted to drugs and or alcohol. And without evidence of the father doing anything other than loving that.
No evidence, except for this smoking gun text right here and whatever we learned from Devin Archer today. Don't forget this one, sitting here with my father. He's there in Delaware, it was proven. And we would like to understand why the commitment has not been fulfilled. This is a text he's sending to one of his partners there in his business in Asia, a guy named Zhang, who actually was friends with a business associate with the head of the Chinese intelligence. He said, tell the director that I would like to get this resolved now before it gets out of hand. And now means tonight. And Z, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me, that would be, of course, Pops, and every person he knows and my ability to forever hold a grudge that you will regret not following my decision. Oh, lovely. All right. So these are the people that we have running our country in Washington, D.C. This is his son. These are the threats that he's making to his international associates because he needs to get another $100,000 in his account. I mean, it sounds like a mobster operation. Maybe it was. And this is what we need the answer to. Again, I'm telling you this, regardless of what side of the aisle you are on, you need to care as an American. Because the one thing that we sort of have had, and I think it's really debatable whether we're ever going to continue having it, but I'd like to get back to it, is a clean reputation, right? Like, we're not the corrupt banana republic. We're not the corrupt Eastern European country. I was talking with some friends who grew up in the USSR the other day, and they were explaining how, you know, they had a president in post-USSR, shortly after the shortly after it dissolved, that still there was this sort of communist mindset, and everything was sort of taken, right, from the people still, and the corruption was rampant. And we know that about many places in the world where the corruption is severe. So why are we now part of the corruption? Why would the Biden family have 20 different LLCs with money pouring in and out? Just to go back to some of this very diligent work that the House Oversight Committee has done, I want to say that it is unthinkable. I mean, the SARs, the number of SARs, 170 of them, this is pretty significant. And when you think about how many different accounts there are, how bizarre. I mean, why didn't anybody say anything? One might speculate that one of the reasons Barack Obama did not want Joe Biden to run, remember he wanted to run right after Barack left office, was maybe because of this. I mean, Treasury was alerting the vice president's office back then to these challenges and these problems. And Joe Biden's office was like, yeah, no big deal, no big deal. Well, if he was on those conference calls, which is what is expected to now be reported, if Joe Biden was on those conference calls and acting as an advisor of sorts, then you know what? You know what? We're going to be looking at an impeachment trial. Of course, be careful what you wish for. Okay, guys? Because if he gets impeached and if he's convicted there in the Senate, that means Kamala Harris is then in the Oval Office. So good luck with that. Of course, if that does happen, then I think probably you're going to be looking at a very, very beatable candidate in 2024. Because if there's one person that pretty much anyone can beat, well, I'd like to think it was Joe Biden. No, I actually think it's Kamala Harris, because she has both a sort of inadequacy in the ability to do her job, as well as just sort of an annoying personality. I'm sorry, but you know what? Politics is personality. Joe, you know, you're not really going to say he's annoying. You might say he's fragile. He's a little bit dumb. He's, again, fragile, weak. You know, we've talked about age, et cetera, and all the times he falls on, you know, the staircase trying to get up on Air Force One. Okay, so he's got that. He's old, he's fragile, he's weak, he's not so smart. But then you look at Kamala and you're like, okay, she's not smart, she's not a bright woman, and she's really annoying. And so that is a disaster for a very, very bad political candidate. But I predict, if this all happens, if he gets impeached, if he gets thrown out of office, Kamala Harris comes in, saves the day. She gets to be the first woman and the first African-American female president. I mean, they get like a twofer. And then Gavin Newsom comes in to run in 2024. Just my own two cents. By the way, I'm no Gavin Newsom fan. I actually liked him years ago. Remember when he was married to Kimberly Guilfoyle? I lived in San Francisco at the time. I reported on the local news. And he had some really good ideas for San Francisco about how the city could improve its homeless situation. He said, forget about all these handouts. We're not going to give cash to the homeless anymore. We're actually going to put them into places where they can sleep and they can get treatment. I thought it was a great idea, but you know what? It got shot down shortly after he won mayor. He once had some conservative ideas, not conservative, I mean, but by San Francisco standards. And now he's way out in left field. And that's what we're going to increasingly be looking at. So be aware, if the left wins another 4 years, guess what? Your taxes are going up. The economy's going to suffer. We can get into that, I think, later this week. We have to talk about some of those things, because the economic choices they are making on the policy front are disastrous for everyone except for themselves. Because when you look at these numbers, let me just go through some more. Wow. Robinson Walker, LLC, $50,000, $100,000, $50,000, $50,000, $10,692, $300,000, $125,000. I mean, absolutely incredible. According to the committee, after the Chinese company wired Robinson Walker LLC the $3 million, the Biden family received approximately $1.06 over a three-month period into different bank accounts. Notably, they write, EEIG, which was an affiliate company of one of Hunter Biden's associates, received almost the exact same amount, $1.065 million on March 2nd, 2017. From the bank records, it appears that the Biden family received approximately one-third of the money obtained from the China wire. Now, okay, 2017, you could say, well, he was out of office. You know what? Hunter Biden was free to do whatever he was doing, and Joe Biden was out of office, so what did it matter anymore? Although it seems clear that the Chinese were trying to perhaps, maybe, and some other countries buy some influence knowing that he was probably going to run in 2020. I mean, it's questionable whether or not you can pin any of that on him. I think you got to go back to the days when he was in the seat as vice president. And you've seen the clip, the infamous clip of him talking about Ukraine and the prosecutor and how he wasn't going to leave Ukraine until the prosecutor was fired. And it's believed that that somehow may be tied to the gig that his son had, 80 grand a month at Burisma, where they were pushing to have a certain agenda. If that can be proven out, and again, it's a big if still right now because they're getting stonewalled. Nobody wants to give them the information. Impressive that they got this much from Treasury. If that can be proven out, well, then you get yourself one heck of a case, and it's pretty darn sad. I do think that he could get, in fact, impeached over this entire thing. Again, just none of this looking good. If you're joining us right now, we are on a live show. It's great to see so many familiar faces here. So many great comments from all of you. Welcome back to the program. If you have not subscribed, do me that favor. Make sure you subscribe to this channel. Really important stuff right now. You can subscribe to me as well on Facebook. And make sure you go over to the Apple Podcast. I'll put the link in there. The Apple Podcast, where you can listen to the audio version of this show. But this is becoming, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, a very, very big deal. And, you know, speaks to some of the corruption that we fear is happening in this country. Speaking of corruption, I want to switch gears and turn to the Bud Light story because this is very sad. 200 people are being laid off at Bud Light. And before you say, ho, ho, you know, yay, 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 just remember the CEO still has a gig. The CEO of this company that employed this woman, he's still there.
I'm a businesswoman. I had a really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. And it was, this brand is in decline. It's been in decline for a really long time. And if we do not attract young drinkers to come and drink this brand, there will be no future for Bud Light. So I had this super clear mandate. It's like, we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. And my, what I brought to that was a belief in, okay, what does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different and appeals to women and to men. Mm-hmm. And representation is at sort of the heart of evolution. You've got to see people who reflect you in the work. And we had this hangover. I mean, Bud Light had been kind of a brand of fratty, kind of out of touch humor. And it was really important that we had another approach.
Okay. So the other approach is now for the company to be, you know, sinking quickly, for lots of families now to experience hardship because their loved ones have gotten laid off from their jobs, and for the CEO to continue on. I'm sorry, but like, I don't buy it. You know what? Like at some point this gal got tossed, right? As well as the head of the marketing department there at Bud Light. That makes sense. But how does the CEO still have a job, really and truly, when he's lost shareholders some $30 billion, nearly $30 billion in value? That's when you got to say, okay, we've got it. We got to find a new way, a new solution. And so when you think about this rigged system that we talk about a lot, it feels very rigged. When the CEO stays and the workers are getting laid off, when the executives are making these massive mistakes that, by the way, none of the workers ever would have done, but they're all living in New York City you know, hanging out and in their Harvard club, and they just don't get how the actual people in America are going to respond to something like a Dylan Mulvaney campaign. We saw very clearly exactly how the people responded. But this is the problem right now. And so whether it's, you know, whether it's this guy, by the way, Sam.
Okay, now here it is.
Bank Friedman, remember him with his crypto scam?
Are you changing
scam?
Your plea?
$40 million to the Democrats, and now he's off on campaign finance charges. I mean, campaign fraud charges. I mean, this is why you have just people saying, okay, is this a rigged system? Like, do we stand a shot here anymore? And again, I'm going to go back, and this should give you all hope, to this judge in the Hunter Biden case who said, you're not pulling a fast one on me. I can't sign off on this. So thanks to her, thanks to some whistleblowers, you know what? There could be a shot at justice in America. And that is so critical right now. We need justice. I don't care what side of the aisle you are on. We are not for sale. We are not for sale. A big thanks again to our wonderful sponsors here, Legacy Precious Metals, LegacyPMInvestments.com. Our economy, 2.4% growth is the latest that we saw. I don't know. You know, everybody's like, oh, this is great. I don't think it's so great. 2.4% growth, especially when you're looking at real numbers, when really well adjusted. We're looking at somewhere around 16% inflation ever since Joe Biden came to office. 2.4% growth is not going to do it. I hope it does. By the way, for the sake of our country, for the sake of everyone and our livelihoods, I hope we actually avoid a recession. LegacyPMInvestments.com. If you're interested in investing in gold or silver, go there. 1-866-589-0560. You can give them a ring. But listen, we are not for sale. Remember that. And I don't care. I don't care, you know, what side of the aisle you're on. You got to remember, we got to be true to ourselves as Americans. We've got to have a higher standard. And that includes having a higher standard for the son of the president of the United States. And gosh darn it, that president better not have done what some believe he may have done if he was on those conference calls. If he was the big guy involved in this business, then I'm telling you, we got real problems here. Big ones. So great to see you all. Don't forget to subscribe. We're going to continue this conversation all week. We're going to learn exactly what Devin Archer has to say about all of this. I have a feeling it will not be good for one person. We're going to watch the White House continue to try and peddle and spin a new story. I'm on it. I'll see you tomorrow.